Hi, I'm Bill Corcoran Jr., and I'm your host for the On the Stacks podcast. Today, I'm chatting with Jenny Heatro, Executive Director of the Back Mountain Chamber.
What's up, podcast? Episode 13, another virtual On the Stacks podcast. Welcome, Jenny. How are you today?
I'm good, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing well. So, in full disclosure for our listeners, you have been on the stacks before, but not on the podcast. It's been almost a year, I think, believe it or not. I know it sounds crazy, but it's been almost a year since you and Bob came on when you were still at the Wright Center. So it's been almost a whole year. So, but now you're part of the podcast as well. So I'm happy to have you on.
Thank you for having me. This will be fun.
Yeah. So, before we get into, what you're doing now at the Back Mountain Chamber, why don't you tell me a little bit about your professional background? Who are you professionally? Like, where, take me back through it to your early days in your career.
Okay. So, I'm a graduate of Misericordia when it was still a college. So that was a long time ago, if you can remember even when it was a college. But my first real job out of school was at Benco Dental. I was a graphic designer. I started there. I had a couple internships there during the summer before I graduated. And they had an opening in the creative department. And I was like, I'm kind of interested in this. Can I help you? So the summer before I graduated, they pulled me under their wing in the creative department. And I worked with some really incredible people there. Donna Schrader, I don't know if you know Donna, but yep. She is one of the most talented graphic designers in the area. And she helped me learn Photoshop. And I used to pull images from floppy disks and save them in this database to go in their 800-page catalog. And that was my job. And then I, graduated from college. And one of the individuals was leaving to go get married and move to Philly. And they said, do you want to stay and do this full time and take over this publication called Big Deals, which was every 6 weeks they would put this publication out to the sales reps. And I was like, yes, I would love to do that. So I stayed there for a while and kind of got the itch. It was really the only place I had worked right out of college. And I thought, what else could I do or what else would I want to do to really expand my understanding of marketing and get into kind of a different area aside from just being a designer, right? So, I made the decision to leave that job and I got a position at Baby Age, which no longer exists. It was an internet startup that was selling infant and juvenile products. And I was an affiliate marketing manager, which was kind of crazy. I didn't even know what that was. But the woman who hired me was like, you have a good attitude and you seem like you want to learn stuff. And I was like, oh, I do. I do. I was like a little, yellow lab, like, yes, yes, yes. Hire me, please. So she did. And I worked with this incredible woman named Julie Space, and she was really inspirational. And taught me a lot. She really was very open with me and honest with me about different things. And she challenged me. And that company was owned by two gentlemen, one of which is Jack Kiefer. And he is like, I don't know, some sort of internet genius, but he's just this really incredible, charismatic guy who is way too smart for this planet. So that was a really cool experience. And I learned a lot. But I was also young and I was going through this crazy, tumultuous time in my life. And I was like, I don't really know what I want to do. I was burned out. I was working really hard and I kind of just said, like, I want to sell real estate or something. And people were like, what? It was literally like 2008 when everything, the economy went to shit. And I was like, well, if I can do it now, I can do it anytime. It's going to get better. It has to get better. So that's what I did. I quit my job and I got hired at Century 21 Smith Horrigan Group out here in Shavertown by Kevin Smith. And he had known my family a really long time and he's a great guy. And he mentored me and helped me. And, but at the same time I was selling real estate and you only get paid when you sell houses. Right. And I really wasn't that good. And I was also, 27 and kind of a disaster. So, I mean, my personal life was in shambles and I was like, I'm going to make it work. So I was freelancing a little bit here and there while I was trying to sell some houses and I got a job at the casino at Bar Louie. And I was like a 27-year-old waitress and bartender. But it was really fun. And I mean, I'm telling you, I think everybody in their life should be in the service industry at some point. I think you really learn how to solve problems, think on your feet, you hustle your ass off. Yes. And you really learn about, I really learned about budgeting. I mean, when I would tell my friends, I can meet you for a drink, I legit could meet them for one drink. I mean, I had to cancel my internet. There was a time I was working on a freelance project and I went to Sarah Ruckno Cleary, my very best friend in the world. I went to her house and like, was doing work in her patio because she wasn't home and I had to like stick onto her Wi-Fi. It was nuts. It was nuts. So,
Wi-Fi hopping.
Oh my gosh. It was hilarious. I remember calling her and I was like, yo, I just shimmied through your fence to sit in your patio and do this project. And she was like, I can't even handle it, but whatever. So I did that for a while. And then, Julie, actually the same Julie who hired me at Baby Age, heard about an opportunity at Fort and Lawson. And obviously, you know, it wasn't for her. She was at a very different point in her career. And she called me and she's like, do you want to get back to real world and do a real job full time? And I was like, kind of, I would really like that opportunity. I need to slow down or something. So, I went in for a couple interviews and I didn't even really know what engineering was, but I just went there and, Tom Makowski hired me. I don't know if anybody who's listening, I'm sure everybody knows Tom Makowski. He was a county commissioner for a time and he's been at Fort and Lawson, oh my gosh, for years now. So probably about 11 years he's been there maybe so far, but he hired me in the marketing department as a marketing manager. And we had this really small team and we just kind of like ran around and wrote proposals and took photos and tried to market the business. So that was that. I was there for about, 3 years maybe? Maybe, yeah, 3 years or so. But at the time, I started dating Chris Hetro, my now husband, and realized that I was in a healthy relationship and that was a good thing for me. So I didn't really want to, I didn't really see it as my long-term plan because I think Fort and Lawson, you know, was his long-term plan, right? So I didn't want to be working with somebody that I was seeing and if it had, you know, I wanted to be me and I wanted Chris to be Chris. And I think we needed to split that. And so I got a job at Cornell Cookson in Mountaintop. And I got that job because I posted my resume on Monster. Like I legit was like, I don't know what I'm going to do with my life. And I posted my resume on Monster and a recruiter called me and talked me through it. And I interviewed there and got that job as the brand manager at this incredible company in Mountaintop. And I loved that job. I loved it a lot. I was managing trade shows and traveling and learning a lot. I mean, selling a technical product to a dealer network is like a whole different ballgame, right? From selling services or selling, you know, retail items on the internet. So that was a really cool opportunity. And, but, you know, somebody from my past life kind of was on me a little bit to say, I think you should interview at this place. And they've been looking for a communications director and I think you'd be perfect. And I said, I don't want to do that at all. I'm very happy. I'm good. I need to settle down. Chris Hetro told me if I quit another job before I stay for 5 years, he's literally going to divorce me. So I was like, I can't quit another job. But anyway, I ended up quitting the job and taking the job as the director of communications at the Wright Center for Community Health in Scranton. So I was there for about 5 years, built a team, got promoted, was learning a lot, growing a lot, got to be on the Stacks with my amazingly talented colleague, graphic designer Bob Sanchuk, met some incredible lifelong friends. And but that was, you know, I was there 5 years. It was a lot of work. I have two kids now. I had two kids while I was in that position. And it got to be hard, right? So I was doing my thing and I got in a car accident almost a year ago and it changed my life. It changed how I thought about my plans. It happened about 2 weeks after my daughter turned one. So it was literally life-changing. Like it was, I just driving kind of just became hard. I went through all those things that people go through when they have like something traumatic happen. Like you feel off, you feel weird. You feel like you don't really know what you're doing with your life. You know, and I did all the things I was supposed to do. I was talking to a therapist and, you know, working through it. But I just knew something had to change. So I just kind of kept thinking about it and thinking about it. Like I didn't know what it was, but I just had to change something to get myself a little bit back to center. So,
so you made another jump.
I made another jump. And again, it was an accident. I ran into a girlfriend of mine at the grocery store And she said to me, "How are you? I haven't seen you in months." And I started crying next to the bread. And I was like, I don't really know how I'm doing. I mean, I have everything I could want on paper, right? I have my husband, my family, my health, my job, I have everything. But I said, I just feel, I don't know, something's wrong. Something's got to change. And she's a little hippy dippy like me too. Her name's Amanda Fanick, and she actually runs her own marketing business too. So she's, you know, kind of thinks that the universe gives you what you need when you need it. So she said to me, this is going to sound really crazy, but I think in the beginning of 2020, the executive director of the Back Mountain Chamber is going to resign. And I said, well, that's interesting. I don't know anything about that. I don't even know what they do. So anyway, she was like, listen, let me like put some feelers out there and see what's real and what's not. And anyway, she ended up connecting us a little while later. I had lunch with some board members and just kind of talked about the chamber. And we just had a conversation. And over the next course of weeks and months, it just kind of evolved into like, maybe this could be a good fit for me. And now here I am.
There you are at the chamber.
So
you're the executive director there. What exactly do you do?
Oh my gosh. I do. I go to a lot of committee meetings. The chamber is interesting because it's about 215 members, local members who are involved. And we're a really small team. We have an active board, but I'm also a part-time executive director. And we have another girl who works there and she's part-time. So we try to do a lot in a very limited amount of time each week. We plan events. We do community fundraising. We just did a food drive for the Back Mountain Food Pantry. We do annual awards each year, which is really cool to recognize new businesses that people may not know what they're doing. We try to promote members, right? Like we try to do, if somebody has a question, we'll obviously refer them to a member. If they say search engine marketing, we would refer them to a member, things like that. But it's a lot of volunteers. A lot of people really kick in their own time to make it work, which is really cool. So
it sounds like you're doing a lot of different types of marketing and, you know, you have a really good background of design and marketing, and seems like you've learned a lot from a lot of your, different roles that you've held over the years. What would you say is one of the greatest lessons that you've learned throughout your career?
I think one of the greatest lessons that I have learned was to find a way to make yourself invaluable. And whether that is helping somebody make processes better or do things that they don't want to do or that they're not good at, I don't know if it's just a matter of how I'm wired, but I always try to find a way to help somebody, especially try to find a way to help your boss, right? And don't just look at them with glazy pretty eyes and say like, can I help you with something today? Like look around and figure out what they're struggling with and say, can I specifically help you do that? Or can I do that for you and bring it back? And you can critique me and tell me how to do it better. And I'll try to do it better. So I would say definitely try to do things that stretch you, that take on tasks that are your boss's tasks so you grow. And please, I would say, never ignore issues. That makes me bananas.
Totally. So
what, I would be careful at happy hours. I would say that too. That's a lesson.
Yeah. Company happy
hours?
Always
be careful at happy hours.
Yeah. You never know.
No.
So what keeps you motivated?
Oh my gosh. I love being a part of a team, and I really love working with and for people who make me feel like what I do matters. I do like being around positivity. That's not to say I can't accept criticism, but I think that a good environment really keeps me motivated. It keeps me interested in trying new things, and it keeps me feeling safe to make things different. And it also makes me feel safe to make mistakes. Because I'm learning a lot. I mean, people look at me and think, oh my God, you've had all these roles. Like I mess up a lot. Like there are a lot of things that people will say, oh, that was great what you did. And I'll look back and say, I don't even know why I did that. You know, you have to be your own critic, I think sometimes, because
yeah, kind of like me, like this On the Stacks podcast, I have no idea what I'm doing,
but you're doing a great job, right?
I'm kidding. I kind of, maybe a little.
Kind of.
Yeah. Yeah, so I guess just trying different things and being different.
I think so. And I'm being okay with that, right?
Yeah.
Like I would say another really good piece of advice that I got early in my career was hire people who are smarter than you and better than you, which I thought was so interesting. At the time, I was like, what does that mean? Why would somebody do that? But, you know, if you can hire people that are better at other things than you are, they're just going to make you look good and you're going to learn things too.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm a believer in hiring, you know, people who are going to, you know, pick up for your, the areas that maybe that you're not so good at. So like, why would you spin your wheels on trying to become, you know, better at something that's not really, you know, your thing? You know, hire somebody else that can do that role. Like if you're not good at accounting, hire a good accountant and don't worry about it. Let them do their job so you can do your job.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yeah. So how do you, you know, you have a lot going on. You got the two kids, the tiny Heatros as they're called. You got Chris Heatro. So how do you handle work-life balance? I mean, you have a lot going on.
I do have a hard time shutting off. I will say, you know, when you're self-employed and you are managing your own time, it can almost become like addicting to say, I'm going to just finish one more thing or one more email or make one quick phone call. Or, I do have to try hard to shut off sometimes. The one thing that does help me a lot to balance that is that my kids are watching. They're watching everything I do. So when I'm on my phone or I take a call during dinner, that's ridiculous. And they see it. They see those bad habits and I worry about them, right? Like, I mean, everybody who has kids worries about technology and limits and boundaries and not being able to turn your brain off. And I worry sometimes that I'm giving myself like adult ADHD because my brain just goes different places with different clients all throughout the day, like a ping pong ball. But so I think
the tiny Heatros yell at you, huh?
They are always yelling at me. Oh my God. Let me tell you about parenting in a pandemic. The mute button and I have a very intimate relationship right now. Like I'm just on calls, mute, mute, mute. I'm just muting myself like 80% of the time.
Yeah.
This is probably the most I've spoken on a Zoom call in like 5 weeks.
Like without any interruptions or just in general?
Oh no, without any interruptions because they're not here.
Yeah. Oh,
Chris Heatro took them.
Oh, he took them away so we can have a quiet On the Stacks podcast with no tiny Heatros in the back.
No, they're not here. They're physically not here.
I mean, I was kind of hoping for maybe a little guest appearance, but
believe me, I'll have them call you later multiple times.
All right, that sounds good. So you know, what else? Kind of along those, you know, the lines of you know, things you've learned in your career. I know, I think one other thing you've done and a lot of people rave about is Leadership Wilkes-Barre. And I know you went through that. I personally never have. And I know you're going to tell me that I need to, but
I know.
Yeah. So talk a little bit about Leadership Wilkes-Barre. What is it and what did you learn from it?
So I did Leadership Wilkes-Barre not this past year, 2 years ago, and it changed the game for me. It expanded my network. It made me learn. I think that sometimes in your career, when you're just kind of grooving and doing your thing and you're in the work zone, you forget to take time to invest in yourself and almost like take yourself back to that learning mode where you have to almost learn basic principles of being a decent human being, right? Like one of the best things that I learned was this thing, and you'll hear Lori Nacido talk about it if you ever hear her speak, the Platinum Rule. And you know, the Golden Rule is do unto others as you would have done unto yourself, which sounds really nice. But the Platinum Rule is, you know, treat others how they want to be treated, which is kind of like a mind screw a little bit, right?
Yeah.
So it really teaches you to learn how to communicate with different personalities in a way that they may better respond to you and you may better respond to them. I mean, obviously the group projects, everybody talks about their group projects. It really teaches you a lot about teamwork. You almost feel like you're back in college and you're in that like team where you're trying to figure it out and find out how to just get the A and get it done, right? But I think it's a wonderful experience, and you know I'm going to tell you that you should apply and do it. And I'm going to tell you that every time I see you.
But I know, yeah.
I think, you know, when I was at the Wright Center, their market was primarily in Scranton in Lackawanna County. And the reason that I was able to apply and do it was because the Wright Center opened clinics in Luzerne County. So okay. I was able to approach them and say, listen, this is a really good time to give me this opportunity for learning that I've been really thirsty for. And at the same time help kind of introduce that organization to Luzerne County.
So did someone recruit you to, I know the network of Leadership Wilkes-Barre alumni is very, very tight and it's like family. Did somebody that had done it before, like tell you like in recruit, you got to do it? Or was it something that you sought out on your own?
No, my husband told me I should do it when we were dating. He was actually doing it when we were dating. And I'll tell you the story because I kind of forgot it happened until just now. They do this one lesson where you cut out pictures from a magazine and you make a little collage. And then in the same lesson, you write a letter, a really short note of somebody who is a servant leader. And then they will send a little note on your behalf. Like, you don't know you're doing it at the time. So I'm sorry if I'm going to spoil anybody's who's going to do
it. Spoiler alert.
They send this letter to the person that you mentioned in the class. And it basically says like, hey, Bill, I just want to let you know that Jenny Hitro mentioned you as a servant leader and thank you for doing this, this, and this. And, you know, and I got this letter at work.
Talk about like a genius.
And it was from Chris Hitro. Like, they sent me a letter at work because I guess he had mentioned me while he was doing it because I was his girlfriend and I guess he was into me at the time. And I got it and I like was so touched. I thought, wow, how did he sees me so differently than I see myself? Because I was just doing all kinds of crazy shit, like adopting foster dogs and like doing all kinds of crazy things. So I don't know. I think it sometimes can help you look around differently. And I know they do one workshop about government and servant leadership in government. And one of the things that stuck out to me is Dave Pedry talked about you think about government as those people, and they're not those people. It's you. It's people in the community doing what needs to be done. So don't think that you have to look outside yourself to get things to be different or be better, because you have to kind of pick up a little too. And I find myself picking up garbage now sometimes, like in just really weird places, because who else is going to do it?
Right. That's great.
So you should do a Leadership Wilkes-Barre, and anybody who's listening who is thinking about it should really consider it.
There's our Leadership Wilkes-Barre commercial.
Woo!
So kind of along those lines, Leadership Wilkes-Barre talking about the community, what is your favorite thing about NEPA?
Selfishly, my favorite thing about NEPA is my network. I've grown up here. I went to college here. I plan to live my life here. I truly believe that I am connected to and know the most incredible people in NEPA, and I'm really into that.
Yeah, no, that's the people is one of the top answers. I ask, you know, any people that are on the podcast that are from NEPA, I typically ask this question. People that listen to the podcast tell me that they like and they enjoy hearing people's answers, and the other popular answer is pizza.
You know, that's my second answer. Anna Rella's Grandma Pizza out, you know, on the way to Harvey's Lake out here is killer.
Never had it.
Well, they're a chamber member, so I just recently got into supporting all my chamber members back here, and they're amazing. Grandma's Pizza, it's usually on special too.
Nice. We'll have to check it out. Are they doing takeout right now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sometimes they get too busy and the phone goes to, you know, busy, 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 but just keep trying.
Okay. Sounds
good. Tenacity and resiliency. Just keep trying.
So back to the Back Mountain Chamber a little bit. You know, how else can someone learn about the Back Mountain Chamber, and how can they benefit from what you guys offer?
Well, thanks for asking that. That's a beautiful plug. Obviously, we have a website. We have a Facebook page. We have an Instagram page. We have a relatively new LinkedIn page. So if you can follow that, I would be very grateful. But one of the things that you can do is sign up for our email list. We try to send out an email once or twice a week. I would also say another great thing to learn about anything that's going on in the region is to sign up for emails from other chambers too. I know in the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic, I really have to give a huge shout out to Lindsay Griffin from the Wilkes-Barre Chamber. She had this idea a few weeks ago to say, hey guys, we're all going to try to serve our members in the same ways, right? So can we get on a call once or twice a week and convene and share resources and offer you know, webinars and Zoom meetings and different, you know, ways to keep connected? Can we convene and offer all of those things to all of our members? And it has been so powerful. So I think the power of collaboration you'll see coming out of this through every chamber. So, you know, if you're up in Lackawanna County, get involved in the Scranton Chamber, go to their events, right? Like a lot of people don't realize with any chamber, if you work for a business that's a member, you can go to anything. Yeah. So I would just say get involved and show up. Just show up.
Yeah, totally. So you got the new LinkedIn page. I don't know if I've seen it yet. Have I? I don't think so.
Uh-oh.
I'll have to check it out.
I can't wait to get the notification later that you liked it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm a big fan of LinkedIn. I know you and I had this conversation a few weeks ago.
Yes.
You know, about the power of LinkedIn. Definitely one of my favorite, social media. We're going to call it social media, right?
I think LinkedIn is your superpower.
Yeah. Like it's totally different. However, I have to say that the organic reach has gone down quite a bit recently, and I think LinkedIn finally realized, that they were, you know, giving away like thousands and thousands and thousands of free impressions. And I think they're starting to dial it back now. I have to call them out on it.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know, they were probably listening to our conversation a few weeks ago, and maybe they're just dialing it back to you and I just to see if they can screw with our heads a little bit.
Maybe. Yeah. Or they just want us to pay for ads now, you know?
Oh gosh. LinkedIn, if you're listening, I'm not paying.
Yeah. Yeah. I used to get like 4,000 organic impressions, and now it's like, it's embarrassingly low now, but hopefully, maybe it's just because so many people are laid off that they're like not on there anymore. I'm not really sure, but, yeah. So
I don't know. I think people are doing a lot of scrolling on social media on many, many Zoom calls without video. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So what else? Is there any other way that anyone else can interact with you guys?
Anybody can be a member. That information is on our website. But the one thing that I would say is really, really helpful is our network of volunteers. We have a lot of committee members who are, maybe they're employed by a member, or maybe they're just interested in helping out in the community. But our volunteer network is really awesome, and they are the manpower behind, you know, the board members and making things happen and helping get out there and solicit for donations and sponsorships for major events. So we're always looking for volunteers, especially now. I mean, it's people who have fresh ideas. I would be very interested in that. You know, events are at a standstill, not just for us, but for all kinds of organizations. So that really puts some strain and some stress on, you know, your finances, right? Because events are big fundraisers for organizations. And sometimes when you lose one or two or three events over a couple months course of time, you have to pivot. You have to think of a new way. So that's been what has been keeping me up at night. How can we change direction while still remaining authentic to, you know, what the chamber is meant to be? Networking and connection and referring and, you know, supporting each other.
Yeah, totally.
So
great. Cool. Anything else that I may have missed? I think we're coming down to the last couple minutes here. Is there anything else that you want to talk about? Is there anything I missed?
The one thing that I would want to talk about is I want to give a huge shout out to everybody who is at home, working from home, pretending to work from home, trying desperately to work from home with small children or aging parents or anybody that you have to take care of right now on top of trying to maintain some sort of sanity and professionalism and hanging on to your, you know, your old world with a little bit of acceptance that it's going away. But I think I would love to give a shout out to everybody who is trying really, really hard to do their very, very best under impossible circumstances, specifically women with children.
Women with tiny heatros.
Tiny heatros. And I will say, I would add one more thing to this. I have been sober through a pandemic. So the other thing that I would want to say is thank you to all the people who are supportive and incredibly kind to me and are trying to help me be my best self and, you know, keep my mind straight. It forces me to feel all the feels. You know, I really do want to have wine a lot, but I think this whole like mommy needs a wine culture really is challenging for today's women. And the pandemic, I think, adds a whole other layer of complexity. So if you are doing your thing and trying to make it through however you can, no judgment, but you know, I would say to people, survival right now. I mean, some people are thriving.
Yeah.
I wish I was thriving.
Right.
But you know, we're all gonna get through it. I will not say we're gonna get through it together because I will throw up in my mouth. I'm tired of hearing that. But I would just say to people, I see you and I feel you and I'm proud of you. So even if you're not always proud of yourself right now, the parenting is hard.
So, you know, you said about not having the wine. So you did quit drinking a little while back. I forget how long, but you're sober, right? How long has it been?
So I stopped drinking as of September 22nd. So, and the reason being, I mean, I think we talked about it earlier. My kids watch everything I do. And after I got in my car accident, I was really anxious and I was kind of struggling through everything that was going on in my mind. I couldn't turn off my mind. It was a lot of what ifs. And I would just like come home and I would run and, you know, run home after work and get home and feed the kids. And I would pour a glass of wine and we would have dinner. And like, then I would have wine at night. And there was one night where my son, he was 3 and he refused to drink out of his sippy cup. And he said, I don't want that. I want a glass like mommy's. And it like kind of wasn't cute. And I thought, oh shit, like he's 3.
Yeah.
And, you know, I thought, well, maybe something needs to change. And I had a good heart to heart with my husband and I was like, I'm going to dry out for a little while. And he was like, all right, that's cool. And I was doing great. It was a 4-week tryout for me. I was like, I'm not going to have a drink for 4 whole weeks. And, at the time I was working at the Right Center and they have an addiction and recovery service line and the director of addiction services, her name is Maria Calcharno, a beautifully amazing woman. I said, Maria, I haven't had a drink in 3 weeks. And now granted, Maria's been sober for like 30 years. And she was like, oh, look at you go. How great. 3 weeks. She goes, you make it 90 days. I'll get you a chip, like an AA chip. And I was like, I can make it 90 days. Because when you think about like, I mean, when you're 3 weeks in, you're kind of like changing behavior. You're like, all right, if I can make it through the first, 3 days, that was like the worst part. So then she was like, it was kind of a challenge. And then I ended up making it 90 days. But by the time I had made it 90 days, I had left my position at the Right Center. And a couple of weeks after I left, I got a handwritten note card in the mail from Maria. And it said, I hope you're doing well. I'm not sure if you're drinking or not or what you're doing, but I'm enclosing my 1-year chip. And I've had it for 30 years. And I think it's time that I pass it along. And I cried. I cried like a baby when I opened it up and read it. And I thought, how powerful. Like, and I thought, women just have this intuition about each other. And for her to like give that to me after 30 years. And I ended up calling her and she's like, oh yeah, I worked really hard for that chip. And then I was like, God damn it, Maria. Now I have to make it a whole year. So here I am.
Oh, well, good for you and congratulations.
Oh, thanks. Well, I mean, you can congratulate me on September 22nd. I will let you know, but you know, it's interesting. The whole sobriety culture is really interesting, but it's been good for me. So, you know, for anybody who's thinking about taking a break, like, my God, I love drinking. If I can do it, you can take a break.
Well, I'll check back with you in September. All right.
Yes, please do.
All right. Well, one other thing before we go, I also have to give a little shout out to my wife because when this episode airs, this episode is actually going to air on our second anniversary, our wedding anniversary. So I know she's going to be listening to this. So if I didn't give her a shout out, I'd probably get hell for it. But no, seriously, I just want to give her a shout out, you know, happy wedding anniversary. Cause you know, she does so much for me and keeps me sane. So.
And she's really good at TikTok.
She is. She's like the brains behind the whole thing. Actually, everyone thinks it's me, but it's not. It's all her.
You know, I kind of believe that. I actually definitely believe that. Yeah, Jazz.
Yeah. So, I mean, I coaxed her like into the first one and then like she didn't want to do it. But then like after that, it was just like she was like, let's do this one. Let's do that one, that one, that one. And it just it blew up. So.
Listen, it's influencer is a thing.
Yeah.
She could be that.
She might turn into it.
Who knows? Stranger things have happened, my friend.
I know. The crazy things, you know, a lot of strange things happening during during everyone's quarantine, but all good things, you know?
Yes. Mostly.
So, yeah, mostly good things.
Mostly.
Yeah.
Depends on how honest people are feeling like they want to be today.
Yeah, it's true. So, all right. Well, I think we're gonna call it a night there. Jenny Hetro from the Back Mountain Chamber, thank you for joining me on another virtual On the Stacks podcast.
Thank you, Bill.
If you'd like to learn more about the On the Stacks podcast, be sure to search the hashtag On the Stacks on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and leave a review. We'll catch you next time on the Stacks.